got back to it. And also because it seems like, I don't know, you don't, in the middle of the summer, you don't want to be making soup, but it's a wintertime thing. And when it's cold outside, there's something very it's a good comfort food. We Indeed. Also did comfort foods yep. once. And so it's terrifically comforting. So we'll talk a little bit about soup this morning. And of you folks who are listening, as always, the invitation is call in with your cooking stories, questions, problems, but also recipes. Maybe you have a good recipe for a soup that you like to make that you'd like to share with us. We would be very happy to have it. And then you could, that way you can share it with other people who are listening too. Here in Champaign-Urbana, the number to call is 333-9455. Toll free, anywhere that you hear us. That's a little different, though. Remember that. It's 800-222-9455. The very first show that we did, it was.
Yes, it? Soup and bread.
Mm-hmm. And I was just sitting here thinking, I recalled on that that show you telling the story of how you had been had kept the same pot of soup going for, I don't know, whatever, 3 months
think
or
it
something.
It was 3 months like that. That time. Yes, I did, as a matter
do
of
you,
fact.
Do you still...
No, I don't cook that soup anymore. Sometimes I kind of do. I sort of, you know, I'll do one for 2 days where I'll add something and I like to change the one that I've got and make it into something else. Yes, there was that time when I was playing Bosque sheep herder, I guess, and making a soup that I managed to keep for that long. It was a contest between a friend and myself. We wanted to see who could keep it going the longest, and I won. But that was only and then you don't necessarily have to eat it every day, but you must cook it every day. You must bring it to a boil and boil it for at least a minute.
Just to keep stuff from growing in there.
Right. Yeah. I mean to tell you that it sits there and waits the 23rd hour, the 59th minute, and if you haven't done it in that period of time, quit. Because that's the function of bacteria. It's supposed to be there. And moles and everything else that come when you leave all those good things out. But if you cook it for a minute, bring it to a boil, and let it boil furiously for a minute, then it'll be all right for another day. And that's the way I kept it for several months.
Mm-hmm.
And it was fun. Well, if you were to make a soup, you know, I don't come from a soup manufacturing family. We just, I don't know, it was tomato soup out of a can was one favorite, not favorite, staple. And soups were not generally manufactured as an object. So sometimes maybe a vegetable beef soup of some sort must have appeared. But I can't recall it ever being, oh boy, I'm going to go home and have chili, lots of chili. We're back. That's another day. Chili's another day. That's a day by itself. But I have had to learn to make soups, and they always had a mystery to me. But the mystery's gone. They are very easy. They're very simple, and I got a couple in my own mind, and I've been working on one this last month. It's really quite easy and quite good. Hmm. Really good.
Well, what was the mystery that now?
Well,
you have
I kind of. A cross between that, oh, you start it early in the morning and cook it all day long kind of mystery. And I have some soups that I've been making that don't take more than 30 minutes. And they're done. And they're extraordinarily good. And I thought, well, now why did we have to have this soup that sat there and cooked all day long? Well, as I've told you before, my mother didn't like to cook. And so I think she might have invented things that didn't have to take much time and attention. I've carried on that tradition in some instances where I like to start at 10 in the morning if I'm going to serve at 6 at night and then forget about it the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's what it was, because it just wasn't something that we just always had around or did.
Well, I guess as I think about it, I sort of think if you're going to have a meat stock, you really do have to, either you have to do it a couple days before or...
Be prepared, yeah. Well, you would. If you need something that's going to have a broth, then you can fashion the broth, and you would. And it became a natural part of cooking. I mean, they would be, it's not leftovers, but these are things that would come from, and you would save. You know, Frugal Gourmet and Julia Child are always saying, save it for the soup stock, save it for the soup stock. Yeah. But they never make soup.
Well, and you have to be really organized. I knew somebody once who, you know, if they had some kind of vegetable at dinner, and if there were two green beans left, they never threw that out. It went into the freezer, and they saved everything. So then when they got around to making soup, then they had all this.
Oh, freezer soup. Now, freezer soup is different. On that day that you decide to clean out the freezer, that is a wonderful soup. No, that often comes. I find strange things, and they're like, what's this one chicken breast doing here and one leftover piece of pork roast or something? Well, that's freezer soup day.
I did actually, though. I was watching Julia the other day, and I saw her make some soup. She made a fish soup, and it must have had about $5,000 worth of fish in it, because first she went to the fish market and she said, oh, I'd like to have two of those, and give me two of those, and give me two. And pretty soon, you know, she must have had a small fortune worth of fish.
Oh, yes.
But it looked like it was pretty good, as far as I could tell by looking at it.
Do you make soup? I think you make, let's see, I think you gave us a recipe for one of your little soups, didn't you, one day?
There is one. I think I have given one, and it's not actually a recipe that I invented. It was a recipe that came out of one of the Silver Palette books for a carrot orange soup.
Oh, that one. Oh, that one. No, that's a good one.
That was very good. That's always a good. It's a thing you like to have at holiday time. To me, that's the Thanksgiving soup. Carrot orange soup, which is basically I don't know how well I remember the recipe now, but it's a chicken. It's a chicken broth soup. It has carrots in it and onions, which you cook in the chicken broth. You have to, once they're done, you puree that, and then it has orange juice in it, and also there must be some other seasonings in there. It may be that it has a little nutmeg or cinnamon or something like that. The kinds of things that would seem like could
spicy.
Go naturally in there. Yeah, that's a good soup. I made some, in fact, I made a soup this weekend. My wife and I made soup. And we made a bean soup. We went out and got a prepackaged assortment of dried beans. It was a 13-bean soup.
Oh, that one, yes.
You know that
one? Oh, yes, indeed.
It's 13 different kinds of beans.
Good.
And it was very, very good. There was nothing to it.
Well, it takes care of all of your problems. I say by problems. Each of the beans cooks in a different manner. And so some will be completely mushed up and become just a cloudy residue in the background, and others will not have cooked all the way through. And then there'll be two or three different textures of beans. That is an amazing soup.
It was very good. We were a little concerned at the beginning because as you first start to cook this, the water looks like dirty dishwater.
Oh boy, yes, because you got brown beans in there, and they'll do that.
But then eventually you put a little tomato in there, so it gives a little bit bitter color. And when some of the other beans, the various beans, cook down.
Now, let me give you a slight variation on that particular recipe. Use beer. Cook with beer.
How much?
Oh, well, enough. two cans, maybe. Well, instead of all of the water, put beer in it. And, of course, the alcohol's gone in a few seconds. But then the beer taste with those beans is rather interesting and very good. You cook it down, and then you put the tomatoes and the onions in at the very end, near the very end.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, if you want to, acidulate it a little bit with lemon juice. Put that in at the tail end, too. And oh, there are all kinds of secrets. Not secrets, but all kinds of ways of doing it. But I know that particular recipe, I have seen it with beer, and it's, you know, with or without. I think it's pretty good.
Yeah, it was very good. In fact, we have some left, and I think we're going to have the rest of it tonight.
Go make your own bean combination.
I guess that would. We just were wandering through the store, and there was this sitting on the shelf, and we thought, well, let's try this, and it turned out to be very good.
Some years ago, I guess about four or five years, somebody had packaged up these things. Someone in the area had packaged these up and was selling them. And oh, there's all kinds of names. I mean, now there's a commercial packaging called Hillbilly Bean Mix and something Bear Mountain Bean Mix and all that. Well, I very carefully took this collection. I divided and separated all the beans. I'm sitting there and trying to identify all of them. And this, I thought, was very, very funny. And so I thought, well, now I'm just going to see if I can't make up this combination, because here it is, and I'm going to see if I can't do this. Well, I did walk into Strawberry Fields, and there, bin one, bin two, bin three, bin four. I had a good laugh at that, because I just went down and picked every dry bean they had, and lo and behold, that was all the dry beans that were in there. So I know how that had been put together.
And for probably about half as much paid for these.
Oh, yes, because they were premium cost when they were first fresh and new, very premium expense. But I used to I have made that up and given it to my family for Christmas, package it up and give it to them. But now they all make their own anyway. So many other beans are available, and they weren't available except in one or two places about 5 or 6 years ago. Hmm. So it's quite good. Do you put ham hock in with that too?
We just put in, we like bought some smoked ham that mm-hmm. had already mm-hmm. been cooked mm-hmm. and just diced it up and tossed that in there yeah. with the rind too that helped
yes.
to give it some nice flavor. Yeah, and it was very good.
It is good. I have a funny collection of beans, not a collection. I have a strange bean that my sister gives me. That I just made this bean soup the other day. I don't. Yes, you can tell the difference between beans. There is one. They sort of, at one moment they're sort of generic, and at the next moment they're each is a distinct flavor. I had to stop myself with that, because black beans have a distinct flavor, and pinto beans are distinct and all. These beans are beans that had been found in the Anasazi caves in New Mexico. The Anasazi Indians, the pre-Pueblo Indians, and they were viable, and they have been nurtured and grown, and now you buy them in a health food store somewhere in Colorado, but I have to buy 10 pounds at a time. But they're strange little beans. They look like Holstein cows, except they're brown and white. They're brown patches and white, and they're big, about like a kidney bean. But gee, they're good. They're very good. They're organically grown and cheap. Oh, every other Christmas I get about another 10 pounds of those beans from her, because they're awfully good.
Well, I wonder now that beans are sort of in vogue, and you can go
yes.
into specialty stores
yes.
and see about 15 different kinds.
Yes, it's new.
You wonder now, where have these beans been hiding? Unless maybe some of them are like heirloom species, and they're things that you know somebody had been
ethnic.
Kind of growing.
It's ethnic.
Oh,
because some of the beans that you're finding could have only been found in France. The little long white bean would only have been able to buy it in France. Well, now it's shipped over here, and a big round flat bean would only be found in Italian neighborhoods, or even only in Italy. And then, of course, the black bean from from South America. Sometimes I think it's called a turtle bean. I'm not certain why. But most of it's a matter of those were beans that were traditional to certain areas. And, of course, in America, for years and years and years and years, we had pinto beans and navy beans and butter beans. And that was it, mm-hmm. lima beans. That would be all you could buy. It would be those three. And I remember even being amazed when all of a sudden lentils all of a sudden appeared. I don't mean all of a sudden. Well, yes, all of a sudden appeared after the 50s. You couldn't go just anywhere and find, especially in the Midwest. You only had those three dried beans. And then I was most delighted when I found kidney beans dry. That didn't come on until recently. They always were in a can and mysteriously appeared and were dumped into whatever you had made. And then the dry beans, but there are many different kinds now that you can buy. And I think that's part of all this mix-up and put together. But it's ethnic. The adzuki beans are Japanese. You would never have had those. Not in Peoria.
Very cool. Well, we're here. Doyle and I have been sort of nattering on here for a while.
I'm afraid so.
And but we really would like to talk with you. We're talking about soups this morning, and maybe you have some thoughts about soup, or you have a recipe that you might want to share with us, or some thought about cooking. We'd be very happy to talk with you. The telephone number here is 333-9455. That's our local number. We also have a toll-free line, and that one is good anywhere that you can hear us. That's 800-222-9455. It's just a little bit different than the other number. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Well, you said that you had been working on a soup?
Well, one that I've been in, I have started making it, and I've done two or three variations, which just to see if indeed I could make that variety, and it's awfully good. I don't really have a name for it. It's a soup that doesn't take very long to make, which was one of the reasons that I decided I would give it a try. And it looked good enough and hearty enough that it would be a substantial soup for the whole meal. And I chose this particular recipe for that fact. I had guests coming. I didn't know how many, and I didn't know when they were coming. So what do you do to prepare a meal for somebody like that? So it was a matter of, okay, then this is a soup that you make, and at the last moment you finish it. So it can be sitting there and waiting and waiting and waiting, and then you bring it all together at the last moment. Essentially, and I was just amazed at its extremely good taste, because it was so simple to make. I'll see if I can recall it. I didn't bring the recipe, but it's easy enough to remember. I chopped up a cup of carrots, and I chopped up 1 cup of celery, and then 1 cup of green pepper, and then 1 cup of red pepper. They do have two different flavors to them. So there's carrots and celery and a green pepper and a red pepper. And those are the four vegetables that you have to chop up. And an onion. But I believe one thing that I have enjoyed doing is chopping up a whole bunch of green onions, because it gives it some more pretty in the pan. Take as much stock. It takes about 4 cups anyway of chicken broth, and I have been very happy with a chicken broth that it's not new, but it's new to me, and it's highly recommended, I think, because it doesn't contain as much salt as some of the others, and that is, let's see, Swanson's, and it's straight. You don't dilute it or anything. It's not concentrated, so it isn't quite as heavy. And so I just pop 3 cans of that into the kettle and let it boil, let it come to a boil, and then drop in the carrots, celery, and the 2 peppers, the green pepper and the red pepper. And so you see that's 4 cups of vegetables, and then 1 large can of tomatoes. I've also made it with fresh tomatoes, and they're fine, but of course, I'm too lazy to sit there and peel them and seed them and do all the things that one might want to do. And I found some very good Italian plum tomatoes that are stewed, and they seem to work quite well. So here is this mass of vegetables cooking away. I have been having fun with, instead of selecting the herbs and spices specifically and limiting them to 1 or 2, I have a big pot of Herbes de Provence that I have manufactured and put together, and I just grab a tablespoon of that, and it's always around the stove somewhere, so I put about a tablespoon of Herbes de Provence in it. I believe if you wanted to be a little more delicate, that when it's in season, the chopped basil would be good, and when it's not, then dried basil and marjoram would be good, and maybe a little bit of thyme, because all of those go with the tomatoes. And that just cooks away for only 20 minutes, 30 minutes. Then, on the side, cooked some shrimp, only very, very lightly. And it's new secret to me. Boil the water, throw in the shrimp, bring it to a boil, turn it off for 3 minutes. And the shrimp is cooked. That's all you want to do. If you cook it longer than that, it ends up being rubber.
Mm-hmm.
So you have boiling water, throw the shrimp in, bring it to a boil, turn it off, leave the lid on, 3 minutes, then you take it out, and it's just wonderful. That sits on the side. So that's why you can wait. But peel the shrimp and take their shells off. I like to leave a little tail on there so you can sort of pick it up and eat it when you're eating the soup. Then I have been looking at two or three other things. Crab meat is very, very costly, but tinned crab meat is not costly. I don't understand why, but you can buy enough. And you'd like to have a little can of tinned crab meat. I have bought the fish that is made into artificial crab, and I like to put one can of crab meat and in as many shrimp as my pocketbook will allow me to do, good-sized ones. And those are thrown in at the last minute along with about a quarter of a cup of lemon juice. And that is it. I remember the other one, the secret ingredient, red pepper, crushed red pepper.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a very hot, spicy soup. But yes, it must have crushed red pepper. And then I don't recall that I put salt in it at all, because I've been doing less salt. So that's one of my favorite soups.
That sounds great.
And that's one I've been working on this last month. By working, I mean I've done it two or three times. And the other night I did it, and I put fresh fish in. No, not fresh fish. Fish that I had left over from the night before, quite frankly. I had broiled some fish, and there it was. So I said, well, good, let's give it a try. Well, the flavor is quite good.
And all the only liquid in there is
water.
Is from your
you could only do water,
broth?
But chicken broth is more fun. Not fun, but tastes better. Could be just water, but you'd want. And one more secret I just now remembered. One cup of the water that the shrimp were cooked in.
Uh-huh.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't. I said, oh, come on. They've got to be crazy. They're just saying this in order to thin it down. No. All of a sudden, whoof, this aroma, it just hits you. It was so good. The first time I nearly threw all the water away. But I remembered. And it's a surprise. Pay attention to the recipe. It's good.
Sounds very good.
Well, there's some folks to talk to.
Yes, there are. We'll talk to them in just a second. Our guest this morning is Doyle Moore, the man we like to call our chef in residence. He's with us generally once a month on the first Wednesday. We do a cooking program, and we're talking about soup this morning. In our second hour this morning, our topic will be groundwater and its link to sustainable agriculture. Our guest will be Jerry Paulson. He's executive director of the McHenry County Defenders, which is an environmental group based in Woodstock, Illinois. We have a couple of people here who want to talk with us, and we'll do that right away. We do have one local line free if you'd like to call in. That's 333-9455. And we have the toll-free line, 800-222-9455. Here is our first caller on line one. Hello.
Good morning. A couple questions.
Yes.
Recipe, sort of. The questions are, where do you get Italian plum tomatoes in this town?
Oh, let's see. Well, I can tell you the three stores that I generally shop at, and I couldn't tell you right where they're at. Some of them are crushed, and some of them are whole. I think I have found those at Jewel.
Mm.
And I think it's a Contadina brand. I'm not certain. It seems to me like it is, but there may be another brand. And, I shop at Jewel, and I shop at Diana, and I shop at Eagle, and I shop at County Market. So go to one of those four stores. But I would imagine that is at Jewel or at Diana's.
Okay, next.
But they're awfully good, and that's just all there, just stewed Italian plum tomatoes. And I remember when I first saw them, I said, what? there they are. I mean, I thought it was kind of rare, or
well,
at least
you can get them back east. But usually, well, I've never found them here. Next question.
Yes.
What do you put into the Herbe de Provence?
Oh, I was afraid you would ask that. I'll have to. I'll sit here with my pencil. There are seven and or eight. So let's see if I can get them all. All right, basil, thyme, basil, savory. Basil, thyme, and savory. I know that's summer savory. Marjoram. Not oregano.
That's too strong.
Yeah, it's not. Let's see. One, two, three, four. Rosemary. Rosemary. One, two, three, four, five. Oh, can I get two more? I feel like time is passing away, and I'm going to either lose $45,000 or not.
Or this lovely dinette set.
Exactly, the lovely dinette set. Basil, thyme, savory, marjoram, rosemary. Now, the last one I have added recently is lavender. Not anise. Not anise. Fennel. Fennel seeds, yes.
Seed. Oh, okay.
Fennel seeds.
Mm-hmm.
One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Oh, I'm missing one. All right. Basil, thyme, savory, marjoram. It's not tarragon. Not tarragon. It could be one. I don't have my billfold with me. I keep it in my billfold because I can never sit down and remember what these all are. Oh. And I have written it out, and it's in my billfold, but I don't have that with me.
Do you want to let them know at WLL?
Well, listen, it can't be much more than it might be the tarragon. So basil, thyme, savory, marjoram, rosemary, lavender. Seems like there's another S. Another S. There's savory and... Now I'm thinking of the other name of savory, which is... I am going to say tarragon anyway. I find that it doesn't... that all of these vary, but this is the one that I picked up in the south of France two or three summers ago, and I have been making it ever since. And I just use it is not tarragon. I know what it is. It's bay leaves.
Oh, I was wondering.
Yeah, bay laurel. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. That's it. Bay, and then with the bay leaves. They like me at Strawberry Fields because I go over to the bay leaf portion, take and dig clear down to the bottom where all the broken, crushed ones are.
Yeah.
And so I fill up my packet with broken, crushed bay leaves. If not, then you just have to use the regular ones and break them up yourself.
Yeah.
But that's the first thing to do. I put everything into the blender, the bay leaves first, and make sure that they're as crushed up as they possibly can be, and then I throw everything else in and make this mixture. That's it. I have it now. Basil, thyme, savory, summer savory, marjoram, rosemary, lavender, fennel seed, and bay. And that's the one that I learned. I found various differences, but I'm sort of surprised at the lavender. We had a show one day talking about that, and so I thought, well, they can't all be wrong, and it was all right there, and they were growing in every field around me. There must be a use for it other than sachets. And when we talked about the use of lavender, and then I found a collection of Herbe de Provence that had it. Well, I've got it now. So
okay.
You got all those down?
And the proportions are probably...
Oh, I just do 1:1:1:1. I just equal everything. I go and buy one scoop of each, and then I throw it into a bag, and then when I go home, it's fairly... That's the way I use it, is just 1:1, everything.
Okay.
Equal.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
You bet.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
The recipe is for sweet potato soup.
Oh, good.
And you slice thinly four big sweet potatoes, two white, small white potatoes, and you put them aside for a bit, and then you saute chopped celery and onion quite a bit. We just use a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And or get a little transparent. You add the other vegetables, and you
the sliced sweet potatoes and the sliced white potatoes.
Sliced, yeah.
Yeah.
And then you cook them in. Add to the sautéed vegetables, and then add enough water to cover them. When they are tender, then you take out most of the vegetables and puree them or put them in a food processor. Add them back with miso. With miso and white wine.
Red miso or white miso?
I use the white.
The white miso.
It's not as salty.
Yes. How much of the miso?
Well, I don't remember what we used.
This sounds good.
It was whatever. And
Two tablespoons maybe? Or
Yeah, probably.
I would think about two tablespoons.
Yeah. And a few grates of fresh ginger.
Ginger, yes.
Fresh ginger.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, and did you say some wine?
White wine.
And how much white wine?
Dry white wine. It was about a cup.
About 1 cup.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds good. Sweet potatoes and potatoes, and then with a mirepoix of celery and onion, and then water. And so then the only fat that you have in that is what you sautéed the celery in. That would, and you could use
Used olive oil.
Yes, olive oil would be my choice too. And then plain water and cook it, and then puree a few of the vegetables, but not all of them.
As many as you want to leave, you leave, and it looks so pretty. And it's just a very soft.
Oh, but this combination of white miso and wine and a little bit of grated fresh ginger sounds awfully good with this.
Yeah, it is indeed.
Oh, I'm going to try this one right away because I just bought some sweet potatoes the other day because I wanted to cook with them. I like them. They're very fast. They're easy to cook with. Of course, you would peel them, wouldn't you?
Well, we had young ones because it was early in the year, but yeah, you'd peel them if they're older.
Oh, because I like the skins on them.
If you can't, yeah, if they're not,
too looking. Too old and tough, sure.
Right, yeah, and that gets even better as it stands in the refrigerator.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
because it would meld a lot. The miso I can see would, and the ginger will, and then the celery and onions would mix in. Oh, that's awfully good. Oh, well, thank you. Hurry up. I'm heading for the kitchen. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thanks for the call. Well, we see we only have about 10-12 minutes left.
Well,
so
we got
you
some
can head
folks
off
to
the
talk
kitchen.
To, but
we
I'll
do have some other people to talk to. Let's go here to line number 2. Hello.
Hi. I have a recipe that's good for company or for adding to a meal when you don't want to spend a lot of time.
Yes.
Or you don't have to pay much attention to this one. It's called Chinese consomme.
Uh-huh.
And it has 2 cups of beef or chicken consomme, or you can use granules if you want.
So it's clear.
Mm-hmm. 2 cups of tomato juice.
2 cups of tomato juice.
Yeah, and you heat those two things together. And then everything else you put in these, either add at the last minute, or you put it into, if you're using a separate serving container, you dump everything else into the serving container so it doesn't get cooked.
Now, what is the everything else?
A stalk of celery that you slice very thinly.
Celery?
And paper thin if you can, so that...
Little paper thin julienne.
Little
matchstick, like matchsticks, yeah.
And I usually just slice it across because I'm not...
Okay.
If I'm in a hurry, I don't think of how I'm slicing it. A green onion, again, sliced.
Green onion, yes.
And any other small amounts of vegetables that you might have around. It's not a soup that has lots of vegetables. You And half a cup of dry white wine. This goes in at the last minute or into the serving container.
Right.
Or you can use the juice of half a lemon, whatever that is.
And some lemon juice. Or some lemon juice,
right.
Yes.
And then a tablespoon of butter or olive oil. I sometimes leave that out. And the point is that you can just do this really quickly, and you don't have to concentrate on it. And it just goes together really, really fast. You don't have to worry about overcooking the vegetables because they're supposed to be.
Because they want to be crunchy anyway, don't they? Mm-hmm. Oh, that sounds very good because the tomato juice. Now, this is almost like the one that I was describing that I set and chopped and cut and did all that and waited for 30 minutes. And it would be about the same thing, kind of a vegetables, the tomato juice and the... beef or chicken broth go together quite well.
Yeah.
Now, do you put any spices in that? No, it's just the...
No, it's very simple.
It's very light, isn't it? That would be good.
And so I've used it to add to a meal where I needed something a little bit extra. And if you're having company, you don't want to have another thing. It takes a
No, you don't.
And sometimes I'll serve it for the family and just add some breadsticks from the oven or something.
Oh, that would be good, too.
Yeah,
yes.
So it's really, it's a versatile kind of thing that rounds out other kinds of
things. And it's fairly hearty because the tomato juice is going to make it more than just a thin soup. It's going to have a little body to it. That's good.
Thanks.
Oh, well, thank you.
Okay, very good.
There's someone that cooks fast and easy. Like it.
Our guest this morning is Doyle Moore, our chef in residence. We're talking about cooking, and in particular, we're talking about cooking soup. And if you have questions or thoughts or a good recipe you might like to share with us, you can call us 333-9455, toll-free 800-222-9455. We have someone else here on line number three. Hello.
Hello.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I?
Yes.
I have a very good recipe for salmon chowder.
Oh.
That's very easy and very good for children.
Mm-hmm.
Something that warms up your tummy at lunch.
Mm-hmm.
You chop up, peel and chop up 3 to 4 potatoes. That depends on the size of the potatoes.
Yes.
I would say 4 medium or 3 large potatoes,
mm-hmm.
and 1 whole white onion. Chop
and
those up.
White onion.
And bring them to a boil in 2 cups of lightly salted water. Now, the potatoes should boil until they're soft but not mushy.
Mm-hmm. About 15 minutes will do that.
Yeah, I would say so. I say 10 to 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
because they continue to cook in the soup.
Mm-hmm.
And then in a large saucepan, a heavy saucepan, you melt about 1/4 cup of butter,
mm-hmm.
and add to that about 1/3 a cup of flour, and then a cup of milk, and make a white sauce.
Oh, all right.
With
yes.
that, and it doesn't have to be really. It's amazing. It doesn't have to be smooth. You don't have to worry about it. Just get your white sauce made, and then dump the potatoes and onion and the water into that.
Okay.
And it will be miraculously thickened and smooth.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can add another cup of milk.
So add some milk, yes.
Yeah. Well, you made.
Oh yes, you've already made the white sauce
right,
with the milk.
Right. You had 1 cup of milk to make your white sauce,
mm-hmm.
and then you're now adding another cup of milk. So you've had 2 cups of water and 2 cups of milk,
mm-hmm.
in there. Then you have a small flat can of red salmon. It's important to have red salmon.
The red salmon, not the pink, and not something else. Yes, red salmon.
That's a small flat can of red salmon. And you flake that,
mm-hmm.
and dump that in there, oil and all. Dump the whole thing in there,
mm-hmm.
and then stir it around. Then you take a bottle of ketchup from the refrigerator, just Heinz ketchup.
Oh, yes.
And dump in about a fourth to a third of a cup, so you get a nice warm pink color.
Oh,
and
uh-huh.
it just keeps stirring. And then add a dash of Tabasco sauce,
yes.
And a tablespoon or 2 of Worcestershire sauce.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Now, actually, the ketchup and the Tabasco and the Worcestershire sauce really are flexible. You know, you can just do it the way you want.
Yes.
As far as amounts. If you want it hot, you add more Tabasco sauce. And then salt and pepper, and keep it warm. Don't let it boil.
Yeah, because it, yeah.
And float a pat of butter on top. And the longer it stays warm, the better it is, but it's ready in a half an hour. And then I usually garnish it with a little paprika and parsley.
Oh, yes.
But it's very easy, very quick, and it's if you have this soup and maybe a spinach salad and muffins, that's it.
That's fairly hearty with a lot of a milk and a white sauce and then the salmon for flavor.
Right.
And it would be very delicate.
And you can make it thick or thin as your family likes it by adjusting all these amounts. Mm-hmm.
Then you've got potatoes and onions in it. Well, you've got quite a bit of stuff there. That's a very hearty soup.
It is a hearty soup, but
salmon chowder.
It's good for winter. Salmon
yes.
chowder.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. Thank you. I don't know that recipe at all.
Well, you like it.
Good. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank
Bye.
You. We have somebody else here back over on our line number one.
Good.
To talk with. We got a lot of good stuff. This
oh, morning. I'll say.
Here's somebody else on line one. Hello.
Good morning. On your soup here that you can half prepare and then finish later.
Yes.
You neglected to mention exactly at what point you stop and sit it aside, and whether you refrigerate it or not. And while you wait.
Yes. Well, I guess.
You put in the pepper.
I put in. I let that mixture cook, and then when about 20 minutes, because I don't want everything to cook into a mush, so I turn it off after about 20 or 25 minutes and just let it sit until the rest of the evening. The fish has been prepared, and I do keep the fish after I've cooked it. I keep it in the refrigerator, but I wouldn't put the soup in the refrigerator because there's no need to. It's going to be within the next, you know, 1 or 2 or 3 hours, and so I don't chill it. I suppose you could. I just haven't because it has simply gotten down to room temperature, and the red pepper goes in. That could go in any time. The red pepper and the spices could go in any time. And if you wanted to add regular pepper and do whatever you want with salt. So you've got this broth prepared with the vegetables. That's one thing set aside. And then the fish is sitting and waiting to go in at the very last minute. And along with the lemon juice. And so the lemon juice, the cup or so of water from the shrimp, and that's the very last thing you do. So those are things that are just heated back up and thrown in, and you don't cook the shrimp anymore because you don't want it to do any more than just
lemon juice.
Oh no, a fourth of a cup, fourth of a cup of lemon juice, and then a whole cup of the water from the shrimp.
And you put the lemon juice in
at the very end. Well, see, they all three go in at the end. I don't know which one goes.
When you're mixing the three together to finally heat it up before you
right. Put it in at that point. That's the one of the last things you do.
And do you think it would be all right to toss that cup of shrimp water in with the broth ahead of schedule earlier?
No, I just keep. I haven't.
Another thing on the side, maybe.
Yeah, I would save it until the end because it's just sitting out there anyway. And actually, I'm doing the shrimp while the other is cooking anyway. So, or maybe I've already done it, or maybe I've had it the day before. But I don't put that in until the very end. I'm not quite certain why. I don't think it's stronger than you think it is. And you know, there's an awful lot of value of food flavor in the shrimp shells. That's where it comes from.
Right.
I mean, we don't think about that, but a lot of it comes from that. In fact, there's some recipes where you take the shells and mash them up and cook them a lot longer, but I wouldn't do it for this.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well, aren't there many shrimp recipes for dishes that have shrimp in it that you put the shrimp in their shells because you want that flavor that comes
mm-hmm.
from the shell?
I just don't think that we think that it's there, but it sure is.
We're almost out of time. We got one more person we can talk to real quick here on our toll-free line. Hello.
Hello.
Yes.
At the risk of being ignorant, I need to ask you what white miso is and where to get it.
Oh, all right. It is a Japanese product and is made out of soybeans there, and it will come in a little package, a little pouch. And there is a white miso and a red miso. Now, it is miso cooking is a absolute delight. Soups are made from it. Some of my Japanese friends in town make salad dressings out of it by mixing miso with. All right, look for a book called Miso Cooking. I'm sure that there's one somewhere. It might be in some of the Oriental stores, or it might even be in our library. I know that there is such a thing around. And
is that MISO?
MISO.
Okay.
And then, as I said, there is a red miso and a white miso. And I would say that the white miso is not quite as powerful as the red miso. I don't know if I really mean that or not. They're both very strong, so you don't use it like peanut butter. You use it as a flavor and a taste that adds to it. But miso cooking is a whole style and manner of cooking. So you'll find that, and you'll keep it in the refrigerator, so it does want to be refrigerated, but it lasts long, long time. And do guard yourself because it is very, very salty.
salty.
Very salty.
Okay.
And so if you're looking for a salt substitute, or if you can't have salt, oh, don't do it. Mm-hmm. There is no substitute.
Well,
but the flavor is so good.
And where do I get it?
Oh, Chinese, there's some at the Chinese market here in town,
okay.
And there's some at Amco, and let's see, Ginza is no more. So I would go either to, Amco is just down the street from me, and so is the Chinese market in... what is that called? Royal Plaza, I guess it is.
Okay.
It's behind WCIA.
Okay.
If we can mention other radios
we'll
on this station.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
All
yes,
right.
Thank
well,
you.
Thank you very much. Well, so can you describe what the flavor is?
It's miso flavor.
I knew you'd do that.
It's a fermented flavor. I think it's fermented. Yeah, it has to sit in some bran and some stuff and ferment for a while. So it's sort of nutty and sort of in a color range, it's sort of dark brown. It's a dark brown taste. Does that mean anything to you? It's a dark brown taste.
It's not
a light taste. It's a dark brown taste. So it's very, very savory. Very savory. And now I will confess that I sometimes maybe when I'm feeling sorry for myself or something, I'll go get a little pinch of miso and eat it separately. Just as not a snack, what am I doing now? I don't know. I think I'll just go have a little half a teaspoon of miso. Mm-hmm. It is so good. I do eat it straight, but it's very, very powerful, and so I shouldn't do that.
Okay. Well, we'll have to leave it there. I'll have a little miso, and
maybe we'll have to have a day on miso cooking. It is a rare form of cooking and a specific manner of cooking.
Hmm. Well,
so I'm glad to see it to all of a sudden appear in a recipe that doesn't seem to be Oriental in its origin, but has included these things. Now, you see, that answers, or not answers, but that explains why a lot of these things are available to us. When you said, how come all these beans showed up, where were they hiding, and did they have to dig them out of whatever it is and plant them again? No, it's just that our whole manner of cooking embraces so much more than it ever did, that now you can put some of this in instead of that. We have become extraordinarily creative in our cooking. And I'll tell you, it's all due to all of the cooking shows, and if you've followed the cooking shows as long as I have, you will see them having even changed. And it's not that they become experimental, it's that they recognize in cooking this specific recipe from this ethnic source that, gee, a little of that would taste kind of good over here, wouldn't it? And then they have mixed and added. It's just wonderful.
Well, we must go.
Well,
thank
you
very much for being here.
Well, I had fun.
I appreciate it. Doyle Moore, our chef in residence. He will not be with us in January, but I think probably in February.
Not be in Florida in January.
Okay.
And finding new recipes.